Okay, this will be a family New Year's. Just the family are here, and we don't need thousands. We don't even need tens. Just family. Now, we're going to have fun tonight. We're going to do about 20 hours of teaching in an hour and a half. And we're going to just get some frame of reference for the new year and some thought process, something to put on the refrigerator. I stopped calling it an ice box. And so we've got a lot to do. And let's begin with a word of prayer and prayer request. We have your niece, and Leah Cox. Once in a while, she will come here with her children. They live in Indiana, and Leah was in town visiting her father and other people and family, Jeff's parents, and she came. She was already ill, became very ill. Long and short of it is, they found a doctor. I'm embarrassed that there's not one in Dallas, and I'm gonna get out and find out, because I can't help but believe somewhere there isn't one, maybe in a back street somewhere. But the only doctor that they found was in Huntsville, and she's going to have a lot of cleansing done and a lot of buildup of mercury and different things in her body, and she's really ill. She's very ill tonight, so we need to be in prayer for Leah and Jeff and the family. And so they're in Huntsville tonight, seeing a doctor, and the only place apparently they could find that would do this. So that's where they are. Any other prayer requests I'm not aware of? Let's continue to be in prayer. Steve, you need our prayers constantly, right? You constantly need them. You're fighting a lot of things. And yeah. Boy, if you've got a floor to walk on and your legs can walk, there you go. That's good. Oh, the poor old icebox. These young people don't even know what that is. All right. Come over and I'll show you some old black and white movies and you'll see what an icebox is in the kitchen. And so let's begin with a word of prayer that our study tonight, our worship, our fun tonight will just be a wonderful way to get into the new year. I've done this every year. My goodness, it's about 62. And it just took all of the energy of, what to do on New Year's Eve and all the trouble you get into and all the how tired you get and all the stuff that goes on. Just being occupied with the Lord, studying the Scriptures, and closing out the year, taking the communion. And so be a wonderful night of just family here worshiping together. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity in a free country that we enjoy the freedom to do with tonight whatever we please, to be wherever we please. And we've chosen, Heavenly Father, to be here. This is what we want to do. Just worshiping you, enjoying others who are like-minded, building those memories, Heavenly Father, that will be set before us for all eternity. Time is such a brief period. Eternity forever. We pray that all that we do tonight, Heavenly Father, will be glorifying to you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Now, before we start singing, what we'd like to do here, like I said, it's about 20 hours of teaching, is get something under our belt and then sing it. and it will mean something to you what we sing. So, since I'm going to be doing all this in one brief time tonight, let's at least read so you'll have an idea of where the hymns are coming from, and you'll be able to, when you sing the hymns, look at them, concentrate on them and what they say, and the message that's going on. So please open for our study tonight, closing out 04 and going into 05. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Favorite chapters in the Bible, but we're going to look at a verse we haven't looked at. 1 Corinthians 13. Jerry, Leslie, Brian, Julie, too young to know all of these things, but so many. I listen to a lot of old radio, and they're always dating back to 04, 05, 09, 011. Fibber McGee always calls it Naught 11, and it's just funny in my mind that here we are in 04 going to 05. In my mind, I can't think in that way because it just isn't that long ago that it was 1904. And I wasn't here, but relating to it from my time frame. So what we're going to do tonight is set the pace for 05 in your life, a verse that Paul has pulled together the entire Christian life. He's pulled together the entire Christian life in these three. So look with me at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. But now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. These three are your life, people. But the greatest of these is love. Now, obviously, we're not going to be able to spend depth on faith, depth on love, or hope, or on love. But I think if we can get a quick sample tonight of those three and the impact that they have working together, working in your life. Just finishing the study on stress, anxiety, depression, my mind keeps seeing more and more things that I should have noted in that series. And I'm totally convinced that if we could build our life on these three, faith, hope, and love, and mean it, and understand it, there'd be no cause of stress, anxiety, and depression, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what they are. If we truly understand and grasp, abideth faith, hope, and love. So having that kind of in your mind of what we're going, the journey we're going to be traveling tonight, let's sing together. And we're going to start off with which song, Brian? 377? Uh-huh. All right. Let's all stand up together and let's start off with, we're going to sing a hymn that relates to each one of these. So the first hymn, all the verses, so we want to end the year in song and begin the year in song. So let's all begin with 377. Thank you. One of the things that I miss and regret, we don't have a youth group. Just growing up with hymns and singing is so much fun and a vital part of a vibrant, in my opinion, vibrant youth, singing and music in the spiritual realm. I remember when we used to sing this in the denominational church I grew up in, and young people, love lifted me, and there'd always be one or two of smart alecks, and would holler out, put me down! And just all kinds of our choir directors said, oh, me. And, we had a lot of fun. We had a whole lot of little things we had put with a lot of hymns, little things we had blurred out. And the preacher told us we'd work as hard on living the Christian life as we did on trying to find lines for the songs. We'd probably do quite well. He's probably right. 1 Corinthians 13. Tell you how we're going to end this thing tonight. We're going to end this thing with being rich in 2005. 2005 is the year to become a millionaire. And I'll show you how. But right now, let's get to work on this part of our study in dealing with 1 Corinthians 13, 13. It is popular in tradition of man this time of the year, make New Year's resolutions. Some mythical leaf happens between December 31st and January the 1st, and it's fun. And people make their resolutions. Even many who do not get involved in all of that, they know it's a new year. And they think about it. Those who know, there's no real change is going to occur between today and tomorrow, but they know it's a new year. Last year we entered the year thinking about resolving to pray. Now we come to, I hope, another momentum for the new year as we enter 05. And it's Paul here gives us, I think, the key to think about every day of the year. Here's our thoughts, our thought pattern for 05. What Paul is doing and has done here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, he summed up the dynamics of the Christian life. There are no three other words. Some people want to judge. Some people want to be righteous. Some people want to be pure. Some people want to do this and all of that. People, everything is summed up in these three words: faith, hope, and love. It is characteristic to Paul to sum up the Christian life in these three dispositions. Three qualities that distinguish someone as walking in the Spirit. Now, if you will, turn with me with this in mind. We're going to come back to it, but just with this in mind, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's just read a few verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2. We give thanks, there's the prayer, to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, which is what I do in my office at home in regard to you. Constantly bearing in mind, now note the three dispositions. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. Now look at 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 8. But since we are of the day, let us be sober. Now, this is the day of the church age, dash, the day of your life, dash, the day before Christ comes and calls the church home. So since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Got to go back. I'm sorry, I should have put Colossians first. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 3. Colossians 1 verse 3. We give thanks to God. And even though our momentum last year was for this year of prayer, I hope that you'll carry that through all of 05. Let not a day, dash even an hour, we haven't in some way communicated with God. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, that's the gospel. Well, he says the word of truth, the gospel. So it's defined for us. The word of truth is defined. Okay, all I want to do here, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians 13. What I wanted to do is just show you, let you be aware, if you wanted to read other passages and examine them, the context of putting this together. Paul has done this. Now, before we proceed, we want to know where this comes from. Even with just handling it as briefly as we're going to do tonight, I still got to stay in context with you. Every Christian should know what we're going to see here. But few are able to relate their salvation to their lives. In other words, relate how you were saved to living your life. The grace principle doesn't stop at the cross. It's all through our Christian life. It is how you and I live every day. This is the foundation of the gospel. These three words are the foundation of the gospel. They flow from the gospel. People, you and I, that's why we talk about the gospel for the unbeliever, the gospel for the believer. We never move away from the gospel. Faith is how we are saved, introducing us to this life in Christ. Faith in the fact that He has come, He has provided the means of salvation, and He now has risen and sits with the Father. Hope, confidence of living this life as being saved. That's our hope, the confidence or hope, as we'll see, of living our life as a saved person produces the salvation in time, as we're going to see. And then finally, love, bringing the love of Christ to all men. One thing that I haven't probably emphasized enough in talking about love is the love is not about you and I. The love is about this is the way other people are going to see God and see Christ, is when you and I love as Christ loved. They're not going to see Christ when we judge one another, refuse to forgive one another, separate, all these kinds of things that Christians are notorious for doing. He is seen when a human being, born-again believer, in the power of the Spirit, at the most difficult of times, will love. That's where the world sees it. The world doesn't see His love anywhere else. And if they do not see it in Christians loving one another, then they do not see it. And that's why one of the reasons I think America is in the jam that it is in. Pastors have failed from the pulpit on how to be filled with the Spirit, how to have this love come through. If you're not going to teach that, then you have nothing left but the law. You have nothing left but to teach people this is how you got to live. If you're not going to teach them to walk by the Spirit by faith, and let Him guide, lead, and pour His fruit through you. You have nothing else left. So you're going to emphasize, then you better do this and you better do that. Now let's look at our passage. 1 Corinthians 13:13. But. Now the particle here is used to introduce something very important. In verse 12. Well, let me just give you the whole context. Chapters 11, 12, and 13 deal with spiritual gifts that a lot of Christians get all excited about. In that discussion is the spiritual gift of tongues. So that's talked about in this section. Now in verse 12, dropping all this down now to verse 12, And it's going to even go into verse 4, chapter 14. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. Which of the spiritual gifts, or which do you want to pursue? Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So he's still in the subject matter. That's your whole domain of what's going on. In verse 12, there is eternity future. But that is way in the future. But we must live our life now. So let's look at verse 12. For now, as we live in the flesh, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, eternity future, now in the flesh, I know in part, but then eternity future, I shall know fully, just as I also have been known, fully known by God. That was a statement made in Galatians. We know him, or rather he knows us. Sometime we're going to have to spend time on what that means. He knows us. But verse 12 is a powerful verse in just getting oriented to where we are now. People look forward. Look forward to being in heaven, to after the rapture of the church and things get going into momentum in heaven. And Christ starts teaching and opening up the scriptures. I've seen so much since 1991 that I've never seen before, never was taught before. And I know, I can just tell you right now, I'm missing 80 to 90% of what's there. Maybe even more than that. Maybe 99%. It's just the book. If I can just see that, wow, this is going to relate like what we're doing in Job and how all of this, I just know, wow, the mysteries that are there, the secrets that are there, it's going to be awesome. Now, I don't think you're going to have to take notes in heaven. I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't think we're going to have to take notes and all of that. But it is going to be so awesome to have this book just had it just explode before us and by his teaching. So that's the ideal of in the future. But now, so all that's in the future. But now I live in the flesh. So now we come to our passage, verse 13. But now, in time, while we're alive, as long as we are alive throughout 05. See, people, there's no person here as a guarantee of 05. Not one of us. No guarantee whatsoever. We all may make it through 05. We may not. All of us may not. Maybe even the whole church won't make it. Maybe we'll be all called home. But you see, that's where the hope is going to come in. That I may not be here through 05, editorially of myself and of you, that I may not be here through 05 is okay, because what happens when I die is firmly taken care of. I have that confidence. That's the hope. And when that's taken care of, when that's assured, oh, we can just live a dynamic life. We can just have a ball. We don't have to give thought about dying and all that's involved in it. Me to live is Christ, die is gain. So I'm going to live, boom, with gusto from the Holy Spirit. Because we have no fear. People, when you love life so much, you're just holding on to it and so afraid to die, you're never going to enjoy it. You're never going to enjoy it. That's why sometimes it's so difficult for a man to be married to a very beautiful woman. He can't handle it. He's always worried he's going to lose and grasp and take hold. Never enjoys. Never enjoys. Don't do that with life. Don't just grab it and hold on like it's something. Just enjoy it. That's what we want to do in 05. And that hope is going to allow us to do that. So he says, but now in time, while we're alive, as long as we're alive, throughout 05, then we have the adverb, numi, from noon, which means now, strengthened by the demonstrative for emphasis, abides. Now we have the present active indicative of the verb, meno, means to stay, to stand fast. I like that one. Remain, abide, dwell, continue, last, endure. Even within some places, concept of permanently, of persons, or of a state, are of a condition, as we have here. In the classical Greek, this word was used metaphorically of a being in a sphere of quality of life. And that's what Paul has done here. The context of chapters 12 and 13, even into 14, concerned with spiritual gifts, but it deals with existing in a sphere of a quality of life. Now we have the three words, the three dispositions. Now, in your life, let's get back to where you and I live now. We talk about the future, but we, you and I, got to live. Tomorrow when we wake up, after being up all night, maybe a little later than normal, but when we wake up tomorrow, we've got to get on with our life. No matter what happens, we've got to move on. I'm so sorry at the beginning I didn't get to it, but the Spirit says now is the time. Talking about all that's going on in Asia. All that's going on in Asia, and they say now it's going to be up to close to 200,000 people found dead. And I called Julie, and Julie told me tonight that her family, you know, we're sorry for all of those who died, but I was concerned about Julie's family. They're inside the harbor of Bangkok, right? Okay, so not affected by it. We're very thankful of that. But we dealt with this a little bit in a special I did after 9-1-1. What happens if after disaster you wake up and you're alive? People, I don't care, even in taking the most horrible circumstances, your house isn't even there anymore. Your family isn't even there anymore. You and I still have hope. You and I still know I've been given an assignment to live, to carry on. Most difficult of circumstances. But what I'm trying to show you is, if we do not have faith, hope, love, we do not have these, we don't know what to do. We're discouraged, despondent, fear. All these things start taking over. Distress, anxiety. People, I'm not judging anyone. That is so common. I wouldn't dare judge any person that's in fear over there, even in a panic over there. I don't know what I would do. I'm not in their shoes. I do know the answer if I would get into this. If I were there, I can tell you that. But whatever a person goes through, whatever you and I will go through in 05, here is the solution. Here is how you keep from stress, anxiety, and depression. I'm just amazed at how many Americans suffering depression, anxiety, all these things, and all the things we're doing medically, drugs, alcohol, all these things, programs. And here it is free for us. If you just take these three pills every day. Take these three tablets every day. And watch what starts happening in your life. These three, demonstrative, pronoun, opposite mean that these three, opposite of those. Just to kind of feel, you know, what's going on here. I'm not going to get involved in a lot of Greek here tonight. That's not my point. But just so you'll feel the verse, grasp the verse. These three, and opposed to all those other gifts. All those other things I've been talking about. In opposition to all of that, these three. That's the ideal that you have here of these three. These three. And opposed to everything else. That's why you have that phrase in there. Because it looks kind of awkward. But now by faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these. Why not? Now by faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. What's the point of these three? Well, these three means in opposition to everything else you want to talk about. In opposition to everything else you want to bring to the table. It's these three. These three characterize, or should characterize, our life. So that's what he has. And the greatest of these, comparative is, like in John 14:10, greater works you'll do, not greater in number, not greater in number, greater in quality. Greater in depth. It's a different Greek word for greater number. A lot of people have that, think the idea is you'll do greater number, quote, number, than I did, greater works than I did, number-wise. Well, because one, there's more of us, and two, there's more time. He had 3 years of public ministry. We've got all of the church age, so therefore that's what he meant. No, 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 no. You miss the glory. You miss the beauty if that's all you see there. What is going on here is greater in the sense of quality, greater in the sense of what? Greater in the sense of bringing in the whole Gentile world. I came for the Jews. I came to save the Jews. I came to bring the Jews into the kingdom. You're going to do greater. You're going to bring in all the Gentiles all over the world. That means us. Wherever we are in the world. That's the greater. That's the idea here. Greater in quality. Greater in dimension. From man's perspective, it all begins with faith. And that's why he does that here. From man's perspective, it all is going to begin with faith. Let's talk about faith a few moments. We have spent a great deal of time in dealing with faith and understanding faith. So let's just note a few things about faith, understanding faith. First, it starts off, what is faith? People, you know and I know, we can spend hour upon hour and talk about this and dealing with it. So many people still have a problem. What is faith? What do you mean by faith? Some people, faith, is it a work? Is it not a work? And what is all, we could just get into philosophically, ideologically, theologically, all these things. I just want to talk with you. What is this faith talking about? That is faith. People, faith is the way that you and I receive anything from God. But it isn't because of our faith. It's because of the work of Christ. It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Faith is the way, is the channel by which God blesses us from everything, from salvation on, and even before that. But faith is the way that we grasp it. Not by works. Not by us doing anything. In other words, you could say, how am I saved? Are you saved by repentance? Are you saved by confession? Are you saved by joining a church? Are you saved by being good? Are you saved by making Him Lord? Are you saved by inviting Him into your heart? And all these things, those are active verbs. Faith is a passive verb. Faith receives. It's the best way, simplest way I know. I could go so many ways with this. But faith is a passive verb. These other verbs, invite Jesus into your heart. That's an active verb. I invite you, Jesus, into my heart. Make Him Lord. I make Him Lord. That's an active verb. I make Him Lord. That's something I do. But see, word pistis, faith, is a passive. I receive from God. I receive, it's a way that you and I receive from God. And then after we're saved, that is, here's how we enter the plan. We enter it, here's the grace plan. And that grace plan is entered by faith. Well, people, this is how you and I are going to live. We're going to live under the grace. Grace doesn't change. The definition of grace doesn't change. So we're going to live by this faith. Over here, faith in the one whom God has sent. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe it's this pen. Maybe I'll use another one. But faith here is in the person that God sent for that, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, over here, faith in your life, what we're talking about now, he said, His Spirit. Faith in His Spirit. We have studied so many things. We've studied the crisis of faith. What's the crisis of faith that we've studied? Crisis of faith is, when you start learning to really walk by faith, something has to die for most people. Once in a while, some people make it without it because they haven't ever picked up something. But for most people, to learn to walk by faith, something has to die. What has to die? Whatever I'm holding on to. Whatever I'm holding on to that stops me from just trusting Him. Let me give you an idea. It may be I'm holding on to repentance. You've got to repent before you can be saved. You've got to repent before you do anything. I believe it's faith. I believe that. But boy, you got to do that. It's got to let it go to trust Him. Confession. You got to confess. That's the channel. No, you got to let it go. Sometimes it's a person. With me, that was more than almost anything. Sometimes, and it's a mystery when you look back at how you can get so involved with a person and you're so afraid to say, okay, it's just going to be walk by faith. because of persons. I'll lose some friendship. I'll lose something there. And I don't want to lose it. I'd rather hold on to this thing, this person, this concept in life than to let it go and walk by faith. I just can't do it. My grandparents were this denomination. My parents were this denomination. And they just can't be wrong. Something's got to die for most of us before we learn, okay, I just trust you. I just trust in your Son and nothing else. I just trust in your Spirit, and that's the way to be filled with the Spirit, and that's the way to live the Christian life. People, faith, we've seen this also, faith is antithetical to our flesh nature. It is against the flesh nature. What is the basic instinct of man? The basic instinct of man is to perform. That's the basic instinct. Man wants to perform. That's my flesh nature. People, when we were little children, got a little child here tonight, little children, what do we start them off. We reward them. We praise them. Oh, look, you did this, you did this, and we're so proud of you. And boy, we want to do more. We want to please our parents. We want to please. We want to get the little star. We want to get the little whatever it is. Our flesh, we build it on our flesh nature. It's our flesh nature. And somebody comes along and says, no, not by anything you do, but by simple faith. For salvation 1 and 2. No, that's hard. I'm so used to working for it. Working for it's the American way of life. Don't you know that, fella? Don't you know it's about America's about working? Well, maybe not too much today, but the building of America anyway. This is about working for what you get. Today we want everybody, we want them to give it to us. We want the government to give it to us. We want our parents to give it to us. The society, oh, you owe me this. No. America was built on establishing freedom, and then and that's all. We'll protect you and give you the freedom, and you do with it what you want. You want to use your brain, you want to use your body as an athlete or a musician or whatever it is, and you want to make money, and you want to contribute, that's up to you. We're just going to provide the environment. But America's reached the point where, no, I deserve it. I earn it. It's mine. No, it isn't yours. But we've lost all that, and that's another sermon. Right now we're talking about walking by faith. What I'm trying to show you is it's totally opposed to our flesh nature. And that's why, people, you got to fight it every day, all day long in 05. It is so easy to get right back into works. It is so easy for me to be studying the Scriptures and me studying along and just start to get going into the field of works rather than just grace and faith. I have to guard it all the time. So many passages beg me to go because that's the way I was trained to teach them. So what I was taught. And to sit there and go, no, that's not what this says anymore. Says something else. That's how you and I are to walk. He begins with where the battle begins. Begins with the faith issue. And we studied so many things. Walking by faith is not walking by sight. That's going to take us into the next two. You got to have the daring or the boldness of faith. When you walk by faith, your life is characterized by people, by a freedom, by a boldness. Let me give you an idea. Baseline. We like to watch movies of the men and women who made the frontier. There are people, and we're thankful for those who, New York and Chicago and all the cities of the East, but boy, we like those movies where they just went. They were rebellious almost, tough, bold, not afraid, didn't need the security, didn't need the security of a city, and didn't need the security of a, just went west. Just went west with all kinds of obstacles. The enemy, the Indians, and various types of native people, the terrain, the weather, the uncertainty. I don't even know where I am. Some people would go crazy just not even knowing where they were. They were bold. People, that's what faith does for you. You're not holding on. You're just able to go where the Lord takes you. So faith, it begins with faith. It begins with walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. There's a confidence in faith, not in the world, not in what you're doing. Your confidence is, I'm just going to trust God. In this case, for the believer, I'm going to trust God, the Holy Spirit, to do this for me and guide me in this regard. So there's so many things of faith that we could talk about. Glorifying God by faith. and the triumph of faith, the song we just sang, 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So faith becomes so important. It's the beginning step. Then he goes to hope. Let's take that up before we have a fun break here. Then he goes to hope. Let's talk a little bit about hope. We could talk a long time about hope, but we're just going to talk a little bit about hope, just to kind of get it into some framework, so that in 05, he's walking by faith, and then we're going to go into hope. Now by the faith and hope. First of all, what is this hope? Elpis is the Greek word. What is it? Hope is the absolute confidence, the total assurance. Now, why am I wording it that? Total assurance. Parentheses, no doubting. No doubting about the future. Eternal or near, meaning tomorrow. Well, I've lost everything. I've lost my home. I've lost my wife. I've lost my husband. I've lost my health. I've lost finances. Confidence. This hope is that confidence. Hope is confidence in the immediate or in the distant future. It is the security about the future. What am I talking about when I say far in death? Do you know there are Christians, this is just amazing philosophically, there are Christians who have all the confidence in the world, when they die they're going to heaven, but they freak out about life. That to me is so interesting. You're trusting God on something that is totally uncertain, as far as any proof. And you trust him there. But when it comes down to life, falling apart with stress, anxiety, depression, all these things, anger, fear, jealousy, everything else that fits in, we lose the hope. We lose the confidence in the future. People, think about it in your mind. If he controls what's going to happen to me after I'm dead, don't you think he can control what's going to happen tomorrow in our lives? No matter how bleak it may seem right now for us, it's difficult for me to imagine what those people in Asia are doing tonight and what it must be like. I don't even think I can imagine it. But I do know one thing, people, this is the answer. The storm came. And I'm still alive. God has a purpose for me. What is that great purpose? You know, I don't know. But I can tell you what it is today. To walk by faith, wherever he leads me to do. That I do know. Don't know about any other day. Point two. The presence of hope, confidence about the future. Let me tell you about why hope is so important. People, I'm summarizing so much. I just want to talk a few minutes about these things with you. We don't have time for elaborate, but we do have time to get it in your mind about them. When you have this hope, when you have the faith that leads to this hope, when you have this hope, it results in comfort in the present life. Comfort now. That hope, that confidence transcends into comfort in the present. You know why so many people suffer stress, anxiety, and depression? No hope. No hope. And that's why they suffer it. I'm so depressed. My life's over. He's gone. She's gone. It's gone. Whatever. I'm in this horrible circumstance. I'm in this pitiful position. I can't do this. I can't do that. And on and on and on. People, depression's going to set in. And then when that sets in, I got to go find some kind of solution. I got to take a pill. I got to take a bottle. I got to take a drink. I got to take something. And so that's where a lot of Christians are. People, I'm telling you, if you understand this hope, confidence in God who controls tomorrow, and your confidence leads you then to an inner peace, an enjoyment of life. Hope the believer can continue to walk by faith. And I'm going to show you how that's a circle. See, we got to walk by faith for the hope, but that hope, it gives us encouragement to continue to walk by faith. It's kind of like, that circle's kind of like losing weight. Right? you start losing weight, and then I'm exercising, start losing weight. Well, the losing of weight and getting the body the way I want it is encouragement to continue to exercise. The exercise continues to do that, so pretty soon you got a good circle going. That's what this faith is. Walk by faith, that starts bringing in the hope. The hope is encouragement to continue to walk by faith. Not the circumstances of life, but the hope and the confidence you have in your soul. Point three. Let's comment on ultimate hope, first of all. The hope of eternity. Just to comment on it. What happens when we die? People, you have no fear, and I have no fear of that. If anything, we have anticipation, but certainly not fear. We have a confidence. God is the originator of this hope. I'm going to read it to you for the sake of time. Let me give this to you. Colossians chapter 1, and I'll read it, verse 27. Those of you taking notes, you can write it and then study it later. To whom God the Father, willed to make known what is the riches of glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope, confidence of glory. So you and I have confidence in the ultimate. We've set that aside. Now that's taken care of, I don't have to go on my search anymore. I don't have to search out what's going to happen to me after I die. I don't have to think about it, worry about it, wonder about it, or just try to put it away from my mind like a lot of people do. That's settled. I know what's going to happen. Now we get to time. Point four. The person who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior has confidence of eternal life. Five, the believer who walks by faith in the Holy Spirit has confidence in time. Okay, let me read this to you. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read to you Romans 8, 24 and 25. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Now, in hope, faith in Christ, but now I'm saved, so it's no longer hope. None of you hope for salvation. You never have to say, I hope I'm saved. You are. I forgot what the event was. I was doing some work in my house, and I had to go to one of those expo things, and I was looking for something, and I walked into the expo store. And there was a very lovely black lady right there. And I said, now, where is this? And the conversation went on. And she says, well, you go straight down. And I joked. And I said, no, I'm not going to go straight down. I'm going to go straight up. And she laughed. And she said, well, I hope so. And I just couldn't let it pass. I said, no. You can know. You can know. And what was funny was that she did believe in Christ. But it's just... have that confidence. No, I know I am. I'm as confident of that as anything. So, for in hope we have been saved, 8:24, Romans 8:24. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Okay. Now let's get to our study point six here. Faith, hope, and love. Hope is from the Holy Spirit. This is point six under hope. We receive this hope from the Holy Spirit when we walk by faith. Now, this one you do have to take time and turn with me. Turn with me to Romans 15. I want you to see this one. Romans 15. Okay, Romans chapter 15. It's an important passage. This is one of those we could spend a couple of hours. We're going to spend hardly a minute. Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, 13. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. That's happiness. And peace. In believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. People, you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit starts pouring in hope. We start out, We have little understanding of the Bible. That's why we have Bible class. We'll learn more and more and more. So you start learning, it's a little. The more you walk by faith in the Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit leads you, the more of this text you understand and grasp, the more the Holy Spirit, and pretty soon, this hope abounds. It abounds. Starts just abounding in every area, no matter what is going on. So our passage, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This hope, people, does not come from the flesh. Now, this is important. If you are in the flesh, you will not have this hope. You can try to fake it. You can try to think it. In the flesh. You can think it theologically. You can think it like we would any other thought in the flesh. But it ain't going to work. It isn't going to work. You can lose weight in the flesh. You can lose flesh in the flesh. But you can't get this hope in the flesh. Flesh will not give it to you. This is a richness that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you're in the flesh and you try to generate this hope and it just doesn't work, stress gets worse. I'm more depressed. I'm more angry. I'm more in fear. It isn't working. This isn't working. And the doctrine isn't working. And no, it isn't going to work because you can't do it. You can't manufacture this hope, people. We've got to take one step back and stand still and trust the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit pours this hope inside and abounds us and strengthens the believer, regardless of the circumstances, your marriage, your life, your finances, whatever may come about at 05, people, God has it all taken care of. Let me tell you something. If you understand this, you're going to be able to help other believers. Because you're going to run into believers who are saved. They don't understand all this. And they're going to become depressed. They're going to become sorrowful. They're going to become hurt. Things are going to happen in 05 in people's lives around you. And you're going to be able to walk in and do what? Encourage them in hope. Encourage them in the confidence of who's in control. So it's good for you. And if you are not the one, right, you're bounding in it, then it overflows to share it with other people. Not only do we receive hope within the Holy Spirit, but in this passage, we also receive peace. We receive the happiness. Now, I want you to turn to another passage with me. Got two more passages on hope. First of all, Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Those of you here, and probably even on the internet now, are familiar with this. It's one of those passages that I try to go to enough where you learn it, whether you want to or not. I think that's the best kind of teacher I had in my, 12 and then 16, 20 years of education, getting a master's, all the way to get a master's, was a teacher who, by their very teaching, you couldn't help but pass the test. You could not help but pass the test. Because it doesn't mean you make an A. That's the difference between the A, B, C, D student. But enough was said that all you had to do is be in class. Well, that's why I want to do some of these verses. Just say them so many times that you know them whether you want to or not. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 5. Galatians 5, 5. And I like the the NIV here. For we, through the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope, our confidence of righteousness. Now, which righteousness is this? This is not imputed righteousness at salvation. See, people, when you and I are saved at the cross, some 34 things happen to us. And one of those things that happen, you are imputed, given part of your character, you're imputed with righteousness, God's righteousness. At the point of salvation. But wait a minute, what about my physical life here? We want our life to resemble what we are in Christ. So, somewhere as my life goes along in this walking in the Spirit, we have the hope or confidence of a righteous life. It isn't going to happen overnight, dear people. This is why you do not judge one another. This is not going to happen overnight. Paul calls it the hope or the confidence of righteousness. I have all the confidence that if I will walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, that I will arrive at a righteous life. That will happen. I have all the confidence. I can't make it happen. I cannot sit down and say, what is a righteous life? This is a righteous life. I know what a righteous life is. A righteous life is a life that doesn't commit big sins. So if I live my life and regulate my life not to commit big sins, I will live a righteous life. Wrong. That's not what a righteous life is. The Holy Spirit gives us a righteous life. And people, you can have that confidence. You can have that confidence of it. Now, one more point under hope. And I didn't realize it until we sang it. It was in one of those songs we sang. Might have to go back and sing it again. Point 7. And for point 7, I want you to look at Hebrews 6 with me. This is powerful. You want to know how important? If I haven't shown you in brief moments here how important hope is, confidence, which leads to comfort and peace, these wonderful things, here's another one for you. Hope is the anchor of our lives. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. In order that by two unchangeable things, which it is impossible for God to lie, may look like he lies sometime, and he does. I can show you passages where it looks like he's lying. He's not. But from our perspective and our understanding, it looks like it. I will not let you go into the land. I can show you a passage. God is so upset. I will not. Now, people, that is God speaking. That's in the Bible. That's it. Whatever the Bible, that's it. They're not going to let him in the land. 5 verses later, okay, I'll let you go in the land. Well, what's going on here? Are we? If you don't want to, if you can't understand it any other way, don't judge God. I'll start you off right on that one. Okay. In order that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. Not just encouragement, but strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Wow. I don't know where, but I can't let this just drop. We're going to have to study this. But we have this hope as an anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Okay, what's an anchor? An anchor, people, is, to give you a good idea, I know you know, most of us have an idea, but the ship, the storm's coming, there's a storm flowing through, and what the ship does, it drops the anchor. And what the anchor does, it keeps the storm from thrusting it against the rocks. So they would anchor offshore when the storm was coming, and the storm would come. Because it was anchored, it wouldn't put them on the rocks. That's what hope does. But I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody in this room, but there'll be somebody in this room. 05 is going to be tough. The storm's going to come. You want to have an anchor. Hope is your anchor. That confidence. That assurance. My God is in control. My God has already laid out the plan. And while this looks disastrous to me, my anchor of my soul, that keeps me from falling apart, keeps me from stop walking by faith, keeps me from stop studying His Word, keeps me from finding that joy and peace, keeps me from trusting His Spirit, that anchor, have all the confidence He's in control. Have all the confidence. Now, I don't have the confidence that He's going to make everything turn out the way I want it to. Don't ever think that. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to God. As I said, I have a confidence He's going to work this to His glory. I may be like Lazarus, begging at the rich man's gate. That's okay. If that's okay with God, that's okay with me. He's in control. And what's going to keep us doing it? That anchor. The confidence. The assurance that God is in control. Turn with me to Lamentations. Lamentations. Where in the world is that? Well, you got to go to the Old Testament. Go to Lamentations. If you find a big book called Jeremiah, you'll find Lamentations, because Lamentations is right after Jeremiah, he wrote it. It's the laments. Lamentations, lamenting. So let's look at Lamentations. And let's look at chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. All right, Lamentations, chapter 3. Let's look at verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Now, let me just tell you what we got here. What is we've studied in stress, anxiety, prayer? Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on him. So it first starts up here in my mind. Now look what it says. I recall this to my mind. I got this on my mind. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's love, indeed, never cease. I don't understand it today. It isn't my ideal of love necessarily, but I know His love for me never ceases. I recall this to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. For the Lord's love, indeed, never cease. For His compassion never, ever fails. Go back to verse 21. Therefore, I have hope that anchors my soul, that keeps me stable in the storm. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. People, this is how you and I wake up every morning. Good times, bad times. I don't want you sitting here tonight saying, boy, is he predicting everybody's going to have a stormy life in 05? No, it's not my point. The point is that no matter what we have, this is going to be our mindset. In fact, I'm going to end it with being rich. But we had this mindset, faith, hope, and love. Okay, verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait. That means to continue to trust Him. To the person who seeks Him. This is what you and I do in that hope. So let's read it again. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Mindset. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. Now, what does that mean? The Lord is my portion. People, no matter what you get or don't get in 05, is the Lord your portion? This idea, well, I deserve a certain amount of the good American pie. Everybody's entitled to a piece of the American pie, the American dream. And you owe me. The government owes me. My parents owe me. Somebody owes me this. No, people, here's your portion. Here's your portion. It's not a piece of the American pie. Here's your portion. The Lord is my portion. That's my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, those who seek Him. Now, it's time for a break. So let's end it on a song. Let's sing the first and last verse. I don't even know how many verses. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Whoever finds it first gets to shout it out. You don't get any other prize, but you get to shout it out. Okay. 216. All right. Let's end our first session here with Great is thy faithfulness. First and last. Okay, if we're all back, you will find everyone should have a copy for the end of our evening, Auld Lang Syne, and about 12:05, some of you will appreciate how large that print is. I do. That's why that print is that way. I want to be able to read it at 12:05. So, that's got it in large print. Well, let's start the second half in singing. We've... Now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So let's sing three hymns, one with each in mind. So, it's up to you. Okay, y'all missed it. Is that your daughter, granddaughter, Steve?
Well, it's my granddaughter.
Granddaughter? You should have watched her and Steve singing. He would go along, point the words, and on the choruses, they just looked at each other and sang them. That was beautiful. That was good, man. That was good, Grandpa. That was good. Does everybody have a copy of the Auld Lang Syne? Okay, I think I left one on everyone's chair. If I missed somebody, raise your hand. Okay, everybody's got one. Now, after tonight, you are all invited to Jerry and Leslie Jensen's house. There are many ways to get there, if you know, but I'm going to give you the simplest. Not necessarily the shortest, quickest, the simplest. You'll never get there. All right. You'll be driving along a creek. All right. Let's start with the number. No, street. 1913. It's a good year. Cross Bend. Okay, let's see here. You want to read that, okay? Now, I'm going to take you from south going north, because that's the way you would be traveling if you go to their house tonight. You'll go north on 75. Okay? And you will come. Here will be the George Bush. And you're going up. This isn't going to be the scale. I need to do this again. But anyway, you'll go up and you'll come to the exit called Parker. I'm going to do it down here so I can write it big. Parker. Now, what you do with Parker coming up 75, you have to get off at Parker, come up and take a loop around like this. 75 goes on and come down Parker. Now, going west on Parker, and you'll come to a street called Custer. Hate that name because of the war between the states, but that's the way it is. All right, there's Custer, and you will take a right. There will be a Albertsons and a flower shop right here on the corner, filling station on this corner, and then shops and stuff. So you take a right on Custer, and you go up to your first red light, and that's Cross Bend. That first red light, I don't know if it'll be red when you get there, but it's a red light. And you take a right. If it's green, please wait until it's red so you'll know you're at the right one. So you take a right on Cross Bend, and about, there's a little street here, about middle ways down is their house. It'd be on the north side, be on your left side. That's where they live. And you all are invited right after we finish tonight, so you're welcomed over to, all right, just in case worse comes to worse, and you find yourself somewhere and you don't know where you are, their phone number is 972-867-5320. All right. So that will take care of those two things, the Auld Lang Syne. They could do that. It's a long way, but you could do that. If you wanted to just, right here is Custer, just about a half a block up. You take a left and go through the neighborhoods and say hi to everybody and just drive and go through lights and it'll take you right up and you'll end up right there. But those of us freeway drivers just shoot up, Parker. And so, all right, now, let's move into our study. Okay, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abide in faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Let's spend a few moments on the love, and then we'll close it with something I want to look at with you. To look at love, again, it's one of those things that is the heart, I think, of what my ministry is about. I know I do more teaching on faith, but faith is how we get to love, and that's the most important thing to me. So, speaking of love, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. God is love. So when you love, you're reflecting the glory of God. The world is not going to know God's love, people, unless they see it demonstrated and flowing through a born-again believer. That's what you and I are here for. We're here to proclaim His love. And if the world is going to see that love, they will see it in the way, one, in the way that believers treat and deal with one another in spiritual love. This is why the world doesn't really want Christianity, because they look at the church today, and it's no different than the world. The church today judges, separates, maligns, gossips, deals with law. The world understands that. The church has nothing that the world, by its demonstration today, the church demonstrates nothing that the world doesn't already have, and why should it want it? It's when we have something that the world cannot understand. That's the study of Samson. What is the secret to your strength, Samson? What's the secret? The world is not asking what the secret of the church is, because the world doesn't see a secret. When we deal with each other by law, when we deal with each other by judgment, when we separate, malign, gossip, slander, do all the things the church is notorious for, we're like the world. We have no secret. But when you can love someone, and they can sin against you 7 times 70, 7 times in that one day in Christ's pattern to Peter, little story to Peter, and you keep forgiving, they can't understand that. They cannot understand how you would forgive. They cannot understand how you could restore. They do not understand how you can do those things. And then they would be asking, how can you do that? What is the secret to your strength, Samson? Samson here being the church. What is the secret to your strength, church? What's the secret to your love? How can you do that? That's foolishness. We don't understand that. But the world doesn't see that, so we're not drawing the world to the cross. Let's take a look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Now, I'm reading here from the NIV. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Now, what is he talking about here? Performance systems. Any system of performance. Circumcision is used here to represent any and all systems of performance. Neither this performance or poor performance or any kind of performance has any value. There is no value in human performance. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And that is a true fact. That's the only thing. Because when you are expressing that love that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's the only love that counts, is that love that comes through the Holy Spirit, does it have any credit and any glorification of God? And while we're right here, where does this love come from? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 22. The only way you can get this love is from the power of the Spirit. The only way you can get this love from the Holy Spirit is by walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Why is that? We trust in Jesus Christ to give to us His work, the salvation work of the cross. We trust in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to give to us His fruit if we trust Him. So He responds to our faith and pours this into us. Now, many things we could do with love, but I think that we have a good foundation of what that means. In closing, will you please turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I want you to be rich in 05. I want you to be millionaires. We're going to look very briefly at how to do this. Church in Laodicea, the last church of the seven churches, of the seven letters, thought they were doing it right. They were big. They were successful. They had lots of money, lots of programs, everything going well as far as they were concerned, and they were doing it right, and God blessed them. They gave an assessment of themselves. They gave an assessment of themselves. Let's read in verse 17 their own assessment of themselves. because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. This is a church, assembly of believers, and have need of nothing. We are self-sustaining. One of the most horrible places to be, you think you can be spiritually self-sustaining. You can sustain yourself. It's a tragic place to be. I have all the money, all the doctrine, I have it all, and I need nothing more. Now, that's their assessment. Now let's read the head of the church's assessment. Let's read Christ's assessment of this church. You do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. People, that's a horrible place to be. It's tough to be poor and not know it. It's unbelievable to be blind and not know it, naked and not know it. Adam and Eve knew they were naked. Now, what they did about it was wrong. At least they knew it. You're in a very dangerous place in life when you think you got it all together spiritually. When you think that everything is going right, we're looking here at an assembly, but it applies to us as individuals. I've got it all. We must be doing it right because we're rich. We must be doing it right because we have lots of people and lots of money. We must be doing it right because we have great wealths. We have great programs, much like the church in America today. Big, really big. Big productions. All these things. We have need of nothing. We've got it. And we're doing it the right way. But God says, no, let me tell you what you are. You're poor. Let's put these on the board. You're poor. It's a horrible thing to be poor and not even know that you're poor. Then he says, you are poor, you're blind, and you are naked. Now, without any teaching here, just jump to it. These are all spiritual. Physically, they're rich. Physically, they can see. Physically, they got the best clothes in town. Best clothes in town. Now let's see. This is how pitiful they are. There's hope. Talking about hope, there's hope for them. Look at verse 18. Here's their hope. I advise you, isn't it beautiful? Not I command you. Not I exhort you. Not I warn you. I give you some advice. It's just beautiful. Sometimes it's a wonderful, it's about all that sometimes a parent can do. A husband can do, a wife can do, a friend can do. I'm not judging you. I'm not superior. Just let me give you some advice. Now if you don't want to take it, nothing I can do about it. But I'm going to give you some sound advice. You do that because you love. You do that because you care. So let's see what the Lord says. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire that you may become rich. Okay? They're poor, so he says, buy gold. Buy this gold. If you buy the gold, it takes care of the problem of being poor. Now remember, isn't this interesting? Buy gold and they're poor. How can I buy gold? Usually you use gold to buy gold. You use gold to buy things. So if I'm poor, how can I buy? Okay? Then he says, and white garments. So we'll come down here. White garments. I want you to buy white garments. That'll take care of their nakedness. Look what he says, is this one has a little more with it. And by, from me, by the way, you'll note, by from me, where does his advice take him? Straight to him. I love that part. It's like the gospel. Where does the gospel take us? Straight to him. Where does this advice, you're going to buy it from me. Now, I'll tell you a little, well, let's look at this. Buy the white garments that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And then he says, buy eye salve. Now, he says, buy eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. That'll take care of the blind problem. Now, I'll tell you something about Laodicea. Laodicea is an interesting city because in this city, it first of all is the banking capital of Asia. It's the banking capital. It's where people bring their gold. It's the IRS center. Secondly, in this city, Laodicea, at this time in history, is well known throughout the world as far as the east is concerned. It's over to the east. Because the hospital, the doctors there developed an eye salve that you anoint your eyes and it really helped your eyes at this time in the world. And everybody knew about it in their very own city. This is why he words it this way. Every one of these makes sense to them. And the white garments, the main industry of Laodicea is garments, wool. They make some of the best wool in the ancient world. So all of these make sense to them. The eye salve, the white garments, all of these things. I advise you. So many different words to witness, to command, to sing, to inform, to teach, to preach, to proclaim, to profess, confess, foretell, promise, threaten, persuade, criticize, complain, on and on and on. So many words in the Greek. I advise you. That's all you can do with some people. Just sit down, give them some sound advice, and see what they do with it. Now, I'm going to have to go through this, but I want you to follow what's going on. Christ comes to this church, to all of us in that sense. He cares so much, he says, I'm going to give you some advice. Now, he gives them sound advice that'll solve the problems of where they are. Now, when you do this, you care enough about a person, simply out of love. You give them sound advice. You don't judge. You don't condemn. You just talk to them. Give them advice. The word here, the compound word and all, it's what it means to give advice, to counsel. It's a demonstration of the grace of Jesus Christ and of the love of Christ. I advise you to buy from me. Takes them to Christ. What does the gospel do? Gospel takes us to Christ. He says, I advise you to buy from me. Okay, what's the emphasis here? You don't go to the world, people. You do not go to the world. Your world has gold, eye salve, and white garments. I'm not talking about that. You can't buy what I want you to buy from the world. You have to come to me. Why does Christ use this technique with them? Let me tell you why. This attracts these people. These people are shoppers. They love to shop. That's all they need. I want you to go buy something. Oh, I'm right there. Let's go. Let me grab my hat and I'm on my way. Okay? I want you to buy gold. I want you to buy eye salve. I want you to buy white garments. I advise you, buy from me. So this is where he starts off, where he wants them to go and what he wants them to do. Now, each one of these things takes care of the problem of where they are in their soul. Now, this isn't our problem so much tonight as what I'm saying. What I want to talk about is buying the gold. Okay. But it's not just gold. It's gold that is refined by fire. We have the present passive participle, a paro'o, which comes from the noun, to ignite, to set on fire, to go through fire, to refine it. Perfect passive, the gold receives this refining from passing through this fire. Gold refined from fire for centuries. In fact, we still do it the same idea. Gold was taken from the mines, put into red hot furnaces. The gold would not be destroyed, but the impurities would be burned. That's what's happening here. Okay, what is the gold? What is this gold Jesus Christ is talking about? What is refined gold that you and I want to be rich in? Buy this gold that you may be rich. So we've got to find out what is the gold we're going to, that he's talking about. People, this gold is your faith. This gold is your faith. The finest gold that you can have in 05 is your faith. You want to see some documentation? Good, I'll show you some. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. First Peter 1:7. First of all, kind of coming from verse 6, these have come, verse what's preceded, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, that your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. People, God never asks us for more faith. The virtue of faith is in the faith, the quality of faith itself. Increased faith, all these things, the standard of measurement is always a grain of mustard seed, which sometimes is difficult to give God. I'm glad that that's all He wants, people, because there are things that happen in our lives that I can't come up with any more than that. But I can trust you a little bit. And that's all He wants. How much faith did it take to save you eternally? A grain of mustard seed. Do you think He's asking for more of that in life? That would make it a work. That's when faith becomes a work, when you think you have to have more faith. The idea of the issue of faith is, it's more difficult under certain circumstances to give Him a grain of mustard seed. That's the greater problem. But the issue that I want to deal with tonight in a few moments that we have is that this faith is, the goal is talking about is our faith that He's talking about here. Okay, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. Okay, we come to the question, how am I going to do that? I have no money. I have no money to do that. If they start to realize that they are poor, people, when are you poor? Look at Revelation 2 a moment. Look at Revelation 2. This is Smyrna. Church in Smyrna. This church in Smyrna could never have a membership drive. Nobody wants to come to Smyrna, to the church there. They are being persecuted. They are losing their homes. And some of them are even being killed. That's hard to have a membership drive and boost your membership when all that's going on. Now, down the road in Ephesus, it's real big. Up the road it's in Laodicea, real big. But in Smyrna, if people are driving around, well, we've got to find us a good church. Well, let's go see what that church in Smyrna is like. I like a little town. Smyrna's beautiful. Got a beautiful crown up there. It's really nice. Let's go see what it's like. You drive in and you drive out. You wouldn't even stay for the full service. You'd get out of there. But look what he says to the church of Smyrna. Verse 9. I know your tribulation and your poverty. But look what the Lord says. But you are rich. The church in Laodicea, we're rich. No, you're poor. I want to start seeing things in the spiritual eye. But I like what's humorous here. This church of Smyrna is humorous. Let's just take a second look at it. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Whoa, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Tribulation and poverty, and you say we're about to start suffering? What have we been doing so far? This is warm up. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to come to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. What's going to cause them to be able to do that? Faith, hope, and love is what's going to cause them to be able to do it. But in our study here, how can we be rich? I want you to look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9. We studied this a couple of weeks ago, Christmas. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet and for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. People, every one of you can be rich. How can we be rich? We can buy this gold. And what is this gold? This is our faith. We can live each day by that and increase our wealth. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17. Instruct those who are indeed rich in the physical world, in this present world, not to be conceited. What does that mean? Think that you've earned or deserve it. Think that God has given it to you because you're so wonderful. And look at the next phrase. Do not fix your hope. What is that? Your confidence. We've already studied that, looked at that tonight. On the uncertainty of riches in the world, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. That's how I want you to be rich. What He supplies. Instruct them to do good. Doing good, walking in the Spirit. To be rich in good works. Not in the physical things of the world, but in good works. To be generous and ready to share. Doesn't mean the rich person has to solve everybody's problems in the world. God will bring those into your life at various times. Storing up, look what it says now, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. People, life indeed is not the riches of this world. The life indeed is living your life in regard to the riches of eternity, laying down that foundation, being rich of what is in the future to be received. This is how we can become rich. We can become rich by walking by faith. Walking by faith in the Spirit, who gives us that hope. That hope gives us the confidence to continue to love. And the demonstration of that love stores up for you treasures in heaven. Every one of you can be very wealthy this year. How? By walking by faith. There's the real gold. That's the refined gold. Walking by faith. Trusting the Spirit. Letting that love flow through you. Letting, therefore, what? God be demonstrated to the world through you. Not taking care of everybody's needs. That's not what it's talking about. So if not everybody's persons with money, it's not their responsibility to take care of everybody in the world. There will be people that will come into their periphery in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm. That will be the opportunity for all of us to demonstrate our love and to demonstrate the love that Christ has for us. Well, we'll be doing more of this in all of our studies. I just thought these two things would get us kicked off into the new year. It's time now for the Lord's table. The communion, made up of two ingredients. It's made up of the bread and the cup. The bread represents salvation won, the work of Christ on the cross. He came, He gave His body for us. The cup represents salvation too. The cup represents the new covenant. And what's the new covenant? The new covenant is how to live now that you are a Christian and Christ is gone. He's not here on earth. And that's very good. Because if Christ were here on earth, would we not all want to live near Him? Would we not all want to be there every time He moved, every time He spoke? Yeah. So He left. He's not on the earth. But He didn't leave us alone as orphans. He said, I'm going to get an orphan. You have no care, no guidance. I'm going to leave you one to guide. So basically the new covenant is the covenant of the Holy Spirit, which gives us life, spiritual life, in our life. So these are what the two elements represent in our service. They represent salvation one. How was I saved? I was saved by grace through faith. How am I going to live? The same way, grace through faith. Here it was the Son of God, and now it is the Spirit of God. And so this cup is a reminder for you and for me how to live each day through 2005. And we'll celebrate this once a month. We'll go over these things. Just a little reminder. This is how you're saved. This is how you walk. This is how you're going to walk by faith in the Spirit that is going to produce the hope, that is going to encourage us to walk by that love, that will glorify God, give you the ability to forgive, give you the ability how to handle any and every circumstance by that love. Now, it is our custom in the communion that everyone hold the cup until everyone has been served, and then we will take the taking of the bread itself denotes communion between you and the Father, but us doing it together notes the communion of the local assembly. So it is our custom that everyone will hold the bread until everyone has been served. Gentlemen. Paul writes to the same Corinthians whom he wrote the passage that we study tonight. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, and what He's given thanks for is his own death. He broke it, symbolizing the work of Christ on the cross himself, and said, "This is my body, which is for you." The body is broken for our salvation. Do this in remembrance of me. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until everyone has been served, that we may take communion together. Please stand. In the same manner, he took the cup also after supper. That's after the Passover. So now we've moved into the concept of the church. The cross is for both the church and Israel, for all ages. The cup of the cup of the communion is for the church. After supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, in light of our study, would you please take your hymnals, and if you'll open to the very end, you will find, after the Star-Spangled Banner, you will find a hymn, and I think it's most befitting to end the year and begin the year with this concept in mind from our study, of "Let Pharisees of High Esteem," and then we will read all five verses and remain standing when we've completed that. Heavenly Father, thank you for the night, the joyful night, celebration, night of celebration, to let your Spirit take into our souls. The greatest of these is love. Faith, Heavenly Father, is how we receive this love from your Spirit. Hope anchors our life, so we're not moved away from it. But it is love, Heavenly Father, that lets the world know about you. Pray you'll take the things we've seen tonight, cause them to bear fruit in our souls throughout the year. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for everyone that made it here tonight. Pray that you will give them safe journey to their homes tonight. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now is our custom. Let's close. As we close out the year, which occurred while we were taking the cup, and pull out your song sheet of Auld Lang Syne. And it goes so fast, I'm going to ask Wes just to play it through once, and then we'll sing it. Okay.